Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The cost of the oil leak keeps adding up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. The tab for British oil giant BP for the disastrous Gulf of Mexico oil gusher is now at and has exceeded $3 billion. The company's now lost more than half its market share. That's led some analysts to speculate on BP being a takeover target. Reports in the British press are the company has turned to the Middle East looking for investors as a way to fight off a hostile takeover bid. On the other side of the globe, a day-long strike is taking place in India against high fuel prices. Last month, the government scrapped fuel subsidies and increased prices in an attempt to cut its budget deficit. But opposition parties who've called the strike say it's going to lead to high inflation. The BBC's Rahul Tandon is with us from Calcutta, and he's in the Indian city right now. Hi, Rahul.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Where are you right now?
I am near what would normally be a very, very busy road. You normally wouldn't be able to hear me, but because of the strike, there's no cars, there's no buses, there's nothing on the streets. Even the animals have gone home for the day. But in front of me, there are a few workers because there may be a strike, but they get paid a daily wage. They're the poorest of the poor. If they don't work, they don't get to eat, so they've had to break the strike.
And things sound pretty calm over there, Rahul. Has there been much chaos caused by the strike?
There has been across India. This is a country of more than a billion people. Imagine in the States, if all your major cities for a day had no schools, no cinemas, no shops, everything was shut down. Times that by four, a billion people have been trying to struggle to get to work. Most of them have given up. There's been some violence. India has been paralyzed.
And very quickly, Rahul, how badly have people been affected by these fuel price increases?
Very badly affected indeed. You know, they've gone up by about 8 to 9%. That means that all commodities have gone up. I've been speaking to some people here in Calcutta and asking them, do they think the strike is the way forward?
I think it's a very outdated way of protesting now, actually.
It stops the city, it makes the city go to a standstill, which is absolutely catastrophic for Calcutta. It's very idiotic.
I'm very upset of many things which has gone up, but at the same time, I would say I don't quite think that the bond is an answer to this.
The government says, look, there's little they can do. They need to cut the deficit. You've heard about that in the States. Expect more strikes, more chaos in the world's biggest democracy.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon reporting for us from Calcutta for Marketplace. Thank you, sir. In this country, the Senate again failed to pass an extension on long-term unemployment benefits. Now it's on to recess, and it'll be at least another week before they try again, which means thousands of more people will keep running out of benefits. And that has serious consequences, as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
So far, more than 1.7 million people have run out of unemployment benefits. That's according to the best estimates of the Labor Department, which collects data from all the states. The department thinks by the end of this week, more than 2.1 million people will have used them up.
They've already tapped into savings, retirement, you know, if there's any value in their homes.
Sylvia Allegretto is an economist at the Institute for Research on Labor and Employment at UC Berkeley. She says once those are gone, there's not much left.
Well, what's left is to find a job. But of course, we know there are very few jobs out there.
And she says the longer you've been out of work, the harder it is to find work, even if there are jobs to be had. A lot of people have already given up looking, which is one reason June's unemployment numbers weren't worse. Allegretto says the economy needs more stimulus right now, not less. Stimulus that could be as simple as extending unemployment benefits. Again, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are mixed right now. Shares in Paris and London slightly higher. Asian shares were mostly mixed today as well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
The Internet's created a tough time for newspapers, something former Miami Herald columnist Dave Barry knows all too well. And he's with us now. Dave Barry, welcome to the program.
Hey.
So part of your book is a comedic look at the collapsing newspaper industry. This is an industry that you've been a part of for almost four decades now. I mean, how much responsibility do you take for its demise?
Can't be mere coincidence that when I stopped writing my column, the entire industry collapsed. But I think part of it was, this is an object lesson in the danger of allowing any industry to be run by English majors.
What is it about English majors? Why?
I don't know. I was one, and we graduate from college with, I think, a minimal grasp of how anything economic works. And so, you know, when the internet came along and we were challenged and we met it in true English major style by holding lots of meetings and conferences. And we tried various approaches. One was to we went through a phase in the 90s where we pretended there was no internet. You know, internet? What internet? And then for a while we tried to make our newspapers look like they were internet, constantly redesign them with more graphics and shorter stories.
But you can't click anything.
Exactly. It's a special kind of internet where it doesn't actually work. You can't click on anything and there's no way that it can be interactive or change. And now our approach is trying to figure out how we can make money giving away our product for free. Anybody out there with any ideas, let us know. Thanks. Thanks a lot. I speak on behalf of the whole newspaper industry.
Well, because I want some sliver of information to come out of this interview.
That's going to be tough.
That our audience can learn and obviously from this.
Capital of Vermont, Montpelier.
How do you save the newspaper industry? You have to have an idea or two.
I really don't. Really? I really don't. I think what's going to save it, if you want me to actually attempt to give you an answer.
Please.
It's going to be somebody like Google, you know, some company that has actual expertise at extracting money from people who use the internet, because somebody will have to. I mean, if we're going to have journalism, I don't think newspapers will survive. The goal now is to figure out a way for journalism to survive, which means somebody has to pay for it. And I don't think the newspaper industry knows how to do that.
Well, ending on that positive note, Dave Barry.
And not only that, eventually the sun will turn into a cold, dark cinder. Other than that, though, I think things are looking pretty good.
Dave Barry, humor columnist, syndicated for how long, we don't know. But
thousands of years.
We thank you for being with us.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.